You know, of course, we all know that last Sunday we celebrated Easter, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But today, I want to look at something about Christ. A significant thing that we need to realize that he became our mediator between man and God. And, you know, to fully appreciate all this, we need to go to the book of Job. Now, if you want a title for this, just call it Discovering Our Inheritance. Now, Job is considered probably the oldest book in the Old Testament. Now, we find Job in the middle of all of his trouble. He had lost everything except his wife and three friends. His wife encouraged him in Job 2:9 to curse God and die. And then his friends turned out to be his miserable comforters, saying that Job, you know, he was to blame for all of his misfortune and God was punishing him and so forth and so on. And in his despair, in Job 9:32 here, "For he, God, is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on both of us." That's the New King James. The NLT says, "God is not a mortal like me, so I cannot argue with him or take him to trial. If only there were a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together." Job here is saying that there's no one that can mediate the differences between God and man. No one was qualified. And so it seems that Job is in a precarious situation. Nobody was available to help Job. And that it was actually the condition of all mankind before Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose and ascended into heaven. That actually is the reason that he came, to be the Son of Man, so that he might, and the Son of God, so that he might mediate between God and man. And he is our mediator in the new covenant. In Hebrews 9, go to Hebrews 9 now. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Now we're talking about Christ, a mediator of the new covenant, which is God's will that is in force now. "And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator is still lives." Now go to NIV, it reads a lot better. "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the other one who made it is living. Here we see that Christ became the mediator of the new covenant through his death, burial, and resurrection." Now, why did Christ become the mediator of the new covenant? It was so that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, we're talking about a mediator, so stay with us on all this. A mediator is a go-between, a reconciler. Strong says it could also be an intercessor. Christ is the mediator, the go-between, the one that is reconciling God back to man or man back to God. You know, sometimes in families there becomes a rift between a father and a son or the kids, and they have to have somebody that come in and be a go-between to reconcile everything, put everything back in order. And now, today, I want you to encourage you that Christ has reconciled us with the Father through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, we have to go back a little bit. Now, stay with me because I want you a little bit of teaching here. We have to go back to the Garden of Eden, where God created man. He came down, he walked, and he talked with man in the garden. But man sinned. He got kicked out of God. He alienated himself from God. And now Jesus came to reconcile man back to God. Let me understand where I'm coming from all that. Okay? Now, so we read the will of God, which is the Bible. And we have the Old Testament, the old will, and the New Testament, which is the new will. Now, the Holy Spirit came upon men, and through the Holy Spirit, God wrote his will and testament right here. Amen. So this, your Bible, how many of you got a Bible or got it one of your devices? Hold it up. Say, this is God's will. That's what it is. It's his will. For who? For us, or me. All right. Now, why is a will necessary and important? Well, the answer is to ensure that the will of the one who wrote it is carried out, and to ensure that the proper heirs receive what they are entitled to. Amen. Now, the Word of God, the Bible, that we just held up in our hands, that is God's will to his heirs and to all who believe through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, how do people find out what belongs to them? They go and the will is read and it tells them what they receive. So, if we are going to find out what belongs to us through the will, we got to read the Bible. Now, what puts a will into force or into action? The death of the person that wrote the will. So, the death of Christ put God's will into action. Amen. Hebrews 9. Go to Hebrews 9:15 now. Go to Hebrews 9:15. Let me say it again while you turn there. Christ's death has put the will of God into force or into action. Hebrews 9:15. And for this reason, he is a mediator of a new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. God intended for all believers to live as heirs of God, and of course, the one it says in Romans, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Receiving then everything that belongs to us. We must realize that Christ's death made it possible for us to receive the will of God and for it to be effective in our lives. Until Christ's death, none of this was possible. The Gentiles were not entitled to the promises. We were not. But since Christ died as Savior and Lord, we become heirs and joint heirs with him. Now, to find out who has been named as heirs to the will of God, let's go and do some more research in the Word of God. Romans 8:17. Now we're going to do a lot of, so keep your fingers ready, because we're going to do a lot of walking through the Bible. Well, all right. Remember that there used to be a commercial about walking through the yellow pages or something with the fingers, so that your fingers do the walking. Anybody remember that? Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to let our fingers do some walking through the Word of God this morning. So keep them ready. All right. Romans 8:17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Now, go over to Galatians 3:29. That third chapter of Galatians is a great chapter for we Gentiles. But 3:29 says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Christ is the heir of God, and Jesus said that all things that the Father has are mine in John 16:15. And then Romans 8:17 tells us that believers are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now the New Living of 8:17 says, and since we're his children, we share his treasure, for everything God gives his Son, Christ, is ours too. Now, according to Strong's Concordance, joint heirs is a co-heir, a participant in common. According to Thayer's Greek lexicon, joint heirs, one who obtains something assigned to himself with others, a joint participant. Now, according to Ephesians 3:6, Christ died so that both the Jew and the Gentile could be the people of God. They are fellow heirs or joint heirs of the same inheritance. Now look at Ephesians 3:6. Ephesians 3:6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Now, before we have used the word joint heirs, but actually, if I can read correctly, the same Greek word that is used in Romans 8:17 for joint heirs is the same word that is used here for fellow heirs. So that means that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, or a fellow heir. Now, the will of God is in effect because Christ has died for us. Go back to Hebrews 9:16 now. Hebrews 9:16. I'm building a case here about our inheritance, discovering our inheritance. This is the way that a legal case is built. Am I not correct? Yes, sir. All right. Hebrews 9:16. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. Excuse me. How many of you have had your parents, like myself, that have gone on to glory? Now, how many of you have siblings that are joint heirs with you? Okay. Now, in order for that will to go into effect, you had to have a death certificate. Is that not correct? Yes. How many of you, that is correct. What did that death certificate do? It proved that that person was no longer alive, so therefore the will was in effect. Amen. Hallelujah. We have that here. Christ has died. Amen. And the will is now in effect. You know, When Christ died upon the cross, the new covenant, the will of God for us became a possibility for all of us. When my mom and dad, well, when dad went, then I was in charge. But the will did not go into effect until mom went. When mom went, then whatever was left, my sister and I were joint heirs, and each of it said what we were to receive. Christ has died, and now the will of God is in effect, and it tells us right here what belongs to us. You see, even though a will is in effect, if you don't know it and you don't know what belongs to you, you can't take advantage of it. You could be the heir of $1 million, but if you don't know it, you could be living in a shack. Let me understand where I'm coming from. Hello. Now, look at this. The promises of God are our inheritance, right? Yeah. And it tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20, we say this all the time, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And then we go on to say here in Colossians 1:12, then it goes on to say, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. And now, then through Christ, now we have obtained the inheritance. Go Ephesians 1:11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Amen. To find out what God has promised in the will, we got to read the will. The problem is many people have not read the will and do not know what belongs to them. You know, like I said a while ago, if you don't know, then you can't take advantage. Actually, if you don't know, you're in no better condition than the person that is not even an heir. Hello? See, you have to know the will of God before you can obtain it. You have to know what belongs to you before you can use it. So, if we don't read the word, the will, then we won't know what God has promised us. Right? Christ is an heir and now has received, we have received what was promised to him in the will. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now he has received a name that is higher than any name. We were singing about that today. Now all things have been put under his feet. Now he has received all authority in heaven and in earth. Now he's received the glory he knew before he came to the earth. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and we are now entitled to receive all of the will of God. Amen. Romans 10:10 says, now we receive salvation. I'm just going to go through this. You can write them down. Ephesians 2:14 says, now we receive peace. 1 Peter 2:24 says, now we receive healing. Philippians 4:19 says, now we receive provision. Amen. John 16:24 says, now we can ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 28:18 says, now we can exercise our authority in Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, now we can be partakers of the glory of God. Amen. See, I'm reading to you what the will says. It says now. Amen. Now, not going to be, not hoping, not waiting to be heirs. Amen. See, if you, you can know you're an heir, but none of it becomes available to you until that person passes on. Amen. You see, this thing became, the will became retroactive for the old when Christ died and established the new covenant. In fact, we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, let's begin to realize that we ourselves have to take advantage of what belongs to us. I read a list here of several things. That's just, as we say, you know, it's sort of a country saying, but that's a drop in the bucket compared to what all is in the will of God for us. That's just some highlights that I highlighted there. But you see, we have to get up and take advantage of it. They're not going to make, God's not going to make you take advantage of any of this that belongs to you. My father, when he and my mom went, they left some stuff for me and my sis. We were joint heirs. Okay. If she goes and takes advantage of it, and I never take advantage of any of it, that doesn't mean I'm not a joint heir. It's there. It belongs to me. Nobody else can use it. It's mine. But until I go and possess it, it's great to talk about. It's great to say, oh man, I got this amount of money. And yet I'm walking because I don't have a car, and yet I got a bank account because it's been left to me. We are living far below our privileges that's listed in the will of God. And you know what? He wants us to take advantage. He wants us to enjoy those. He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. But he can't force it on us. We have to go take it. Now the enemy, he's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting it. He's going to tell you every reason why you shouldn't, and I'll just go on and on. But hey, that doesn't got anything to, that document that my dad went to the attorneys and had it all drawn up, that document is a legal document. I don't care who says it's not legal. I don't care who says what. It's still a legal document that nobody else can do anything with. This is a legal document, the will of God, that was put into effect when Jesus Christ hung on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, and his blood spilled down that cross. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Everybody, the salvation of mankind was on his mind. And he looked up into heaven and he said, it's finished. And when he said it's finished, the will become effective at that moment. Everything that's in the will became ours. So why are you sitting there not taking advantage of it? I got a little sermon I preach. I think it's back there in a little mini book. The prison door's open while you're still doing inside. When he died on the cross, this will went into effect. He unlocked the prison door. If you're still sitting inside, it's your fault. Get up and get out. and get on with God and enjoy everything that God said belongs to you. You are the one that controls how much of the will you put into effect in your life. There's some people that only put the salvation part. Thank God for that. That's better than nothing. Hello? You know, one time, years and years and years ago, oh boy, he said, that's whenever, it was so long ago that I'm the one that came and paid their tuition to. That's how long ago it was. And he said, I don't have any money to pay the tuition and I can't get a job. I said, you can't get a job. I said, I drove down 71st Street that time, just one little old bitty road. But I said, I saw several signs back down there that by the mall that had said, now hiring. Oh, yeah, but they don't pay enough. And I looked at him, I said, well, something's better than nothing. Go get a job. That's exactly what I said to him. Hey, you know me. I mean, I don't mince words very often. I just blurted it out. He didn't like it very much, but, you know, I've talked to a lot of people through the years in ministry. Well, I just don't have enough, you know. And I said, well, get a second job. Oh, I don't want to do that. I said, then live like you're living. Do you realize that there are some people that don't want to take advantage of healing? There are some people that don't want to take advantage of the fact that God said he would bless you. Don't look at me like that. It's so. That doesn't mean that they're not saved. Doesn't mean they're not born again. But it doesn't mean they're not a joint heir. It simply means that they're not taking advantage of what belongs to them. You know, when I was in the first and second grade down in Van, Texas, 1946, I guess, there was a man lived up on the hill, and they said that he owned, I don't know how many oil wells and so forth. That was, at that time, down in East Texas there, the Pure Oil Company and the Humble Oil Company, everything was there. So, but he walked to town and would walk back home carrying groceries. He had a plot of ground that he used as a garden and he plowed it with a mule. And so Dad, in order to make some extra money so he'd have money for us for Christmas, now some of y'all don't even know this about it, but he would paint and hang paper. And back then, hanging paper was a whole lot different because there was wood boards and you had to put up this cloth, and then you put the paste on it, and then you put the wallpaper up. Anybody old enough to remember that? I got a few people old enough to remember that. I was helping him, you know, I was up there helping, I was putting paste on the paper. And so he went to pay Dad, and he went over to the desk, and he said, now let me see which bank. And he started going through, he must have had 20 different checkbooks in there. And I come to find out he had a tractor, he had a car in a garage, but he walked everywhere and he plowed his field with a mule. He had it, but he wasn't taking advantage of it. In fact, I found out that there's an oil derrick and an oil well right there on behind the school. In fact, I climbed in second grade. I climbed all the way to the top of that oil derrick one day at noon because Jack climbed halfway up at morning recess, and everybody wanted to be with him on his team. And at noon, I was second grade. I climbed all the way to the top of that oil derrick, and then everybody wanted to be on Hagen's time team, you know, then. How many, I don't know how it is in school now, but how many went to school back there in the early years like that, that's the way it was, you know? But, and he gave that oil well, and actually there was two of them. There's one over by the high school. I mean, we didn't pay for lunch. Our football team had the best of equipment because, man, it, you know, But he had it, but he wasn't using it. The problem is many people have it, but they're not taking advantage of what the will said belongs to them. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, well, then what are you going to do to receive your inheritance? First of all, read the Word of God. Amen. Then, secondly, get saved. Amen. Then, thirdly, begin to claim what belongs to you. And then, fourthly, live according to what is yours. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I haven't gone very long today, but I tried to build a case to get us to realize and discuss. See, so many people don't really understand about the will and testimony of God. They don't understand about the inheritance. They don't understand how it happened. It all happened because man annihilated himself from God, alienated himself from God when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. Right. But Jesus Christ came as the mediator to reconcile us to God. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, put into effect the will of God for every one of us. Hold your Bible up. Say this with me. Hold up your device if you got it on your device. Say this with me. This is the will of God. It belongs to me. Everything that God said was mine, I can live in it. Because Christ, death at Calvary, put this will in effect in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand up and praise God right now. Because the will of God is in effect in your life. And start saying, I receive it. I take advantage of it. I believe it's mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I don't know about you, but I got myself excited. Talking about what really belongs to us because of what Christ did at Calvary. See, it all comes back to what Christ did at Calvary and then him raising from the dead. Amen. I preached about it last Sunday morning. All the other graves, they're still there. But the grave is empty. Amen. And he said in Revelation, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Glory, 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 glory. Bow your heads for just a moment. Now, unless you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you can't take advantage of it. You're not a joint heir. But as soon as you become born again, you become a joint heir with Christ. If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you're in this place and you know what it is to live for God, but you know you're not exactly where you need to be, and you need to rededicate your life to God. Are you like a fellow I met a couple years back? He said, I've gone to church. He's an elderly man. I've gone to church all my life, ever since I'm a kid. I don't know whether I have ever actually accepted Christ or not. He came forward to do so. In fact, everybody was surprised when he came forward, but he wanted to make sure. So you may be in that category. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, you need a know-so experience with God. Let me see your hands right now anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Are there others? Any more hand over on this side? Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Are there others? Upstairs. Ushers, help me up there.
Praise the Lord. Another hand over here. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We also believe in a biblical experience. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd say, I'd like to receive that biblical experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Anybody in the room, anywhere? Let me see your hand. Anybody? There's a hand right here. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. I'm going right down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle, come down here right now. I want to shake hands with you and I want to pray with you right now. So come on. Come on. Come on. Right now. Come on. Come on. Just come on. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. Arms are open. Just stand right here. We'll wait until everybody gets here. Glory to God. Come right here. God bless you. Bless you. Just stand here. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. If you raised your hand, God bless you, man. Bless you. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, come on. Just come on. We're waiting on you. Change your life forever. You'll never be the same again after today. This is your day. This is your time for the will to become effective in your life. Hallelujah. God bless you, young man. God bless you. Just wait right here. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You that are standing here, look my direction. I got three little books in my hand called New Birth. New Birth tells about being born again. In Him tells you what you got in Christ. And then Why Tongues tells about the Holy Spirit. If I put these books out here like this, what do you got to do to get them? They're yours. You got reached out. You got them. All of y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's just a little exercise I do. I can give you a book. But you came to receive a spiritual blessing. That comes from heaven on high. And just as He reached His hand out and you reached your hand out, I want you to reach one hand toward heaven. And with that hand, you're just simply saying, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I came for. You in the congregation, reach your hands toward them. Pray as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for every one of these. I thank You that every spiritual need in their lives will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-so experience, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I want to ask you to go to a special place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Get those books. We call it a prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for just a few lessons, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. We said, what in the world is that? Well, it's just to get your life turned back on to God or turn it on to God for the first time. I'd like to see you in there next time. They'll tell you more about it back there. You see Roger right over there? Would you just follow him to that place right now where you can be prayed with individually in depth? Go right ahead. Praise God. Give them a hand as they go. They just made the greatest decision of their life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. They're going to be able to get on inheritance now. Amen. Amen. Reach hands toward them and say this with the Heavenly Father. Thank You for everyone. Let's go into the prayer room. Thank You that their every spiritual need will be met today. And they won't leave here like they came. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, did anybody get anything out of this morning? Glory to God. Take advantage of what belongs to you, okay? Hallelujah. Well, tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Come believing, come expecting. Praise God. Wednesday night, hour of power, 7. Hey, connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to the connection room. I think if I saw right, one of our first time guests went to the prayer room. So you might want to get one of the gift deals and take it to them in the prayer room in a minute. All right. Praise God. Staff, you can go. Hey, don't forget all the announcements. That's where we're going to be. If anybody wants to see any of the pastoral staff, that's where we'll be shaking hands. We try to rotate around. We got four entrances to this building. We try to rotate around. You're in the balcony sometimes and go out those doors. You never come see us, but come by ever so often so we know that you're still here. For you that don't know, we sing a chorus and let everybody get dismissed. I'm going south today, I believe. Yes. All right. God bless. Tonight, 6 o'clock, right here. God bless.
I know who